When she finds the body of one of her colleagues lying in a council house corridor, Councillor Helena Kerr has immediate suspicions about the identity of the murderer. She happens to suspect her main political opponent and sets out to prove it. Romance and political skullduggery combine in David Edgar's witty murder mystery with a touch of added authentic gruesomeness here and there.
The Secret House. Dramatised by David Edgar. From the novel by Eve Brook. And starring Celia Imrie as Councillor Helena Kerr. The Secret Parts.
Well, it was hardly going to prove my lucky night. But as I drew up at the council gatehouse on that grim November evening, at least I knew the time.
Dave! Dave! It's raining and I'm cold.
Oh, sorry, councillor. It's just me tonight.
Well, that's privatisation for you. Can I bring the car in?
Yeah, no problem.
Usually, lowly councillors such as myself parked in a nearby concrete bunker. But after hours, and 7:15 on a Friday was definitely after hours, the great green gate could be swung open and we could park inside the courtyard alongside Dave's patriotic rover and the mayoral Daimler.
Save your time for a cuppa, councillor.
Not right now, no. I need to catch my clerk. On my way out, more than welcome.
My name is Helena Kerr. I'm the chair of the Social Services Committee, which meets monthly on a Monday, and my clerk, Ben Logan, draws up the agenda on the preceding Friday evening, which, although he always does it splendidly, I like to check.
You hear the verdict?
Bastards! Free the Ambridge too, say I!
Like all Brummies born and bred, or like me, recently adopted, the Archers and their doings being something of a conversational obsession.
I never thought they'd actually, like, send them down.
Last week was school exclusion. This week, hunt saboteurs.
I'll put the kettle on.
Which prospect was a welcome thought as I groped along the murky half-lit corridors of Birmingham's Gothic Council building, somewhat comforted, I have to say, by the approaching light from the office shared by the committee clerks. That is, until I turn into the room itself and see what's lying there in a dark red glistening puddle on the floor.
Councillor, what's up?
It's Ben. I found his body. He's been... Someone smashed his head in.
Aye? Well, Councillor Kerr, good evening. Gateman, could you open up?
It was my opposite number on the Social Services Committee. The smooth but noctious Councillor John Malcolm.
There's been an attack.
There's been a murder.
What? Now, Councillor, are you sure he's... Like, he's actually...
No, I'm not. Good point. So, Dave, you call the police while I go...
While I go and check it out. Where is...
No! While we go and check it, Councillor.
And so, in a rather tight-lipped way, we did. And I suppose I hoped that I might find it was all a ghastly dream. But there it was, just as I left it. Poor Ben's twisted body. His head a pulpy mass of bone and gore.
Well, I'm afraid there isn't any doubt...
Poor Ben. Who could have...
Well, indeed. Why were you here?
I might ask the same of you.
Well, certainly. The police will. I left behind some notes I need for my surgery tomorrow.
Well, I was checking through the agenda for Monday's meeting. Where are you going?
I'm going to see if I can find out where the man got in.
What, and whether he's still lurking somewhere, brandishing his bloody weapon?
No, Councillor. I think his bloody weapon was that bloody hammer on the floor. And I take your point... The blood's still wet and it's probably not the right time for heroics. Shall we go and report back to the police?
Which we did. And initially, it was a bit of a disappointment. As something of an expert on these matters, I'd been expecting scores of men in white disposable overalls and plastic bags over their shoes, not to mention much unravelling of tapes with "Police, do not cross" written on them. So I was surprised, if not a little miffed, when all we got were two constables who didn't look old enough to be out on their own.
Ah, right. We're going to take a look.
I'd had in mind something a bit more like the US cavalry.
Excuse me. Can you fill me in? Are you all right?
I found myself looking up at a wickedly cherubic face, with, I suspected, rather longer than police standard curly hair, on top of what was just short, I'd imagine, of a 6-foot frame. To which I confirmed I was just fine.
I'm Detective Sergeant Bataloko.
Right, off you go.
Aha, the U.S. Cavalry.
Beg pardon?
Is this the woman who found the body?
This is Detective Inspector Pierce.
Can you do her while I do the gateman?
Do me?
Just a brief preliminary interview.
Now, Mr...
Dave Wilson.
Is there someone we can
I'm
talk?
Sure it's been a shock.
Right.
Do you feel up to telling me what happened?
I decided that I did.
It's Mrs...
Ms. Kerr.
Yes, of course.
Or Counsellor.
First name?
Helena.
With a A.
As implied by how I said it?
No, it's just unusual.
Did you say Bataloko?
Point taken, Helena.
In fact, my sisters are called Imogen and Perdita, so you can guess my father's primary literary interest.
Beg pardon?
Helena, Perdita and Imogen being heroines in Shakespeare plays.
I'm afraid I... English was not exactly my best subject.
And you have a murder to investigate.
Right. So, maybe, Counselor, you'll tell me how you found the body.
Which I did. And how I'd come straight here from a meeting at the Housing Association where I work, which seven other people could confirm, and about Ben, who was a career committee clerk, finance and general purposes until last year, and now with me on social services. And Gay, close to his mother Vera, lives alone, and occasionally my escort of an evening, as in taking me off to the opera for the celebration of his 29th last month, which he said would be his last, as he had no plans ever to be 30.
Yeah, sure. It's always that kind of irony that gets you.
And the sweetest man you'd ever meet. And just as something struck me as being rather odd about this section of the interview, Inspector Pierce and Dave returned.
Right. Can we check this CCTV?
Sure.
Yes, Pierce?
Dave's face was grey. Of course. He was presumably a leading suspect.
Right. They found the point of entry and of exit. Broken window, legal services.
Mm. Now, presumably less so.
So, would you like to view the tapes, Inspector?
Well, yes, please, Mr. Wilson.
Inside, the gatehouse was getting hotter and muggier. While on the screens, they saw the man.
7:23 and 20 seconds.
Which means he must have been inside the building when I found Ben. Even when me and Malcolm went back to the body. He was half walking and half running round the corner of the building, wearing jeans and a long parka with the hood up.
So why did you miss this, Mr. Wilson?
Well,
That's when he's calling you. He was on his own. Unfortunately, since security was hived off to the lowest bidder.
Yes, thank you. So where's he coming from?
It looks like he's turning out of Eden Place. Where the legal service offices look out.
And do you have coverage of Eden Place itself?
No, sorry.
No? Why ever not?
It's a blind spot.
Of course, this building works on the other side.
So there's nowhere you can mount the camera?
Temporarily,
Well, how convenient.
Well, it might be, mightn't it?
I'm sorry, Mrs...
Kerr, I just meant, presumably...
Yes? What?
Oh, dear. Well, it doesn't matter. Oh, poor Ben. To Ben, who wouldn't have had... Can I go home now?
To which the answer was, if they could keep my car to search it, he would drive me back. And when we got back to my house in leafy Lefty Moseley, he promised that he'd drop my car back first thing, which he duly did.
Oh, what? Oh, damn!
I heard the keys come through the door, but by the time I'd made myself decent and yet casually alluring enough to open it, he'd gone.
Now, the worst thing, Ellen, is the things he left undone. I mean, he had some shirts in the machine.
Yeah. Well, it's always that kind of poignant irony.
Letters he hadn't sent, and he was reckoning on finishing the lounge today.
You've obviously been round there.
He'd even cut the wallpaper to the size, you know, rolled up with paper clips ready to go.
Look, Vera, when Jack died... I tried to do it all too fast. I thought, if I got it over with. Whereas, in fact, it was just too soon.
Oh. Well.
I'd leave it for a week.
A week?
Or, if you like, I could go round and at least sort out his papers.
What? Now?
Whenever.
It's not actually his papers is the problem.
No?
It's like I used to give him silly cartoon socks for Christmas, I don't think I could stand.
Of course. Hope the police were nice to you.
Oh, you're very nice. A lady policeman called Joanna and a man called Michael. Surname sounded like Italian.
Yes. Yes, I think I met him too.
He said Ben wouldn't have known a thing.
Well, that was nice of him.
And she wondered if I wanted him to contact Harry.
That's Ben's father.
Right.
And did you?
Well, you know, we'd not seen eye nor ear of him for 15 years now. And frankly, they never hit it off.
Is that because he knew that Ben was gay?
Well, he was a train commando. I mean, he had those prejudices and he hated anything flamboyant.
Was Ben why you broke up?
Well, you could say it was the final straw, but really it was everything. Ben, boredom, money, being an army wife. I mean, left alone for months on end. Eleanor, he'd not bought himself a shirt for 20 years.
Well, men.
Men of that age. And then, when it was clear his only son was gay, he took it out on me.
Then you're best off out of it.
I didn't tell the police about the taking out bit.
No, of course not. Nor will I. In fact, speaking of which, I'm late for my appointment down at Steelhouse Lane.
Oh, well, let's hope you get the nice one, Eleanor.
Nice? They're all the same to me.
Well, Ms. Kerr, good afternoon. Collaborating with the forces of oppression?
No, Mr. Malcolm, helping to bring a vicious murderer to justice.
Though no doubt if he's from a single-parent family.
Oh, for God's sake.
Not vicious so much as socially disadvantaged.
Oh, Counselor, there you are.
Sorry to have kept you waiting.
Well, good luck.
So, any joy?
No, I'm afraid not. It's just a guy in a long parka. You can't even tell how big he is without a point of reference. So is he still your suspect?
Well, the thinking is that he was after something else.
Computer chips.
That's right.
Crime a la mode. Drop the PC on the floor, nick chip, vermouth. Though a young man's crime in my reasonably extensive experience.
Uh-huh.
My committee oversees the Youth Offending Service.
Ah. And how do you know he wasn't young?
The way he ran, of course.
Well done.
It was pretty obvious. So if it's him, it's an interrupted burglary.
No evidence as yet, but possible.
But you haven't written off someone inside.
Your point that the blind spot was maybe a bit convenient.
Exactly so.
But if it was an inside job...
I wouldn't look much further than the gentleman I just met in your corridor.
Councillor Malcolm?
Yeah.
And motive?
General nastiness.
Premeditated. Not convinced. Apart from there being no forensic.
Gloves?
And nothing on his clothes? No footprints?
Michael, it was pissing down with rain.
Michael?
Sorry, Sergeant Battaloco.
No need to apologise. Unless, of course, it's against your principles to be on first-name terms with fascist brutes.
There's a distinction, naturally, between the individual and the institution.
Oh, I see. We're not all fascist brutes.
No, but you are the force that put away the Birmingham Six and had its serious crime squad closed down and, as I recollect, had a high old time breaking the miners' strike.
Yes, well, it's easy to see that you're a politician.
Sorry?
Fatuous generalities being your stock in trade.
Well, I think that as it's nearly 5 o'clock...
I think we can agree we're both in unpopular and misunderstood professions, but that I am not responsible for every bent or homophobic copper any more than you're responsible for every dodgy Labour councillor who ever took a payoff from a builder for a council contract.
Well, all right.
But, as you say, it's 5 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm sure you have more important things to do than waste time bickering with the lackeys of the ruling class.
As I'm sure have you. I mean...
Why don't you like it being known that you're a widow?
Sorry?
When you were filling in the form, you nearly ticked the single box and then changed your mind and went for widow.
Well, you're the police.
That explains the second tick, but not the first.
I don't like pigeonholes. Single, widow, married, in an ongoing, not in an ongoing.
Yes, of course.
Any more than you do, I imagine.
Well, exactly. Nonetheless, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to know.
Leukemia. Diagnosed after 14 months of marriage, died 3 months after diagnosis.
I'm sorry.
Well, it was rotten luck. And afterwards, I didn't really want to retie all the threads, so I moved to Birmingham and served my time on the ward committee, taking minutes, organising socials, tramping pavements, and eventually I got myself selected and elected and appointed to be the chair of social services, and my life is fine, just like it is, at least until last evening. Just my luck, and here I am. Is there a Mrs. Bertoloco?
No. The part that is from Mum.
Who was swept off her feet by a dazzling Italian?
No. Granddad was the spig. Immigrated to South Wales in the years between the wars. So I know a bit about the miners. And my brother's gay, so I know all about that too.
Yes, I noticed. When I told you that Ben was gay.
Oh, yes?
Not the presence of an attitude, an absence. A dog that didn't bark.
You'd make a good detective.
So will you accept an amateur suggestion?
Of course.
I check his office. There's showers, and counsellors keep a change of clothes.
In that case, once we've checked his, we'll check yours.
Of course. And that was it. And despite a fleeting and surprising thought about how the evening might have panned out differently, we parted at my dirty car, from which I telephoned my best friend, Nina, counsellor for the adjacent ward, who before the night was out had plans to continue her doomed search for Mr. Wright.
So what's he like?
He's just my type. Mm. Mean, moody and magnificent.
Oh, Nina. That means selfish, sulky, scatterbrained.
And something else that starts with S. Now, my problem is that in the same way that you always want to think that Mr. Wrong is Mr. Right, I want Malcolm to have done it.
Well, he's your opposite on social services. It's understandable you'd want him to be a homicidal maniac.
But I can't see a motive.
Apart from being to the right of Genghis Khan.
So I think, where are his secret crevices? What's he do?
Well, he runs a small security firm.
Right.
Which, rumour had it, was in trouble.
Aha.
And there was a rumour that he was going to go for our security contract.
Even Ahara.
But, Anne, that doesn't work because he didn't get it. It went to the amusingly titled Blanket Security.
They who would be hard-pressed to organise a piss-up in a brewery.
Or their way out of a paper bag.
And, of course, despite the popular prejudice, it's very hard to fix a council tender now. Not least as the man in charge of the opening bids is 6 foot tall, does weights and could absolutely run a Welpstall.
Yes, the gorgeous member's services officer.
Plus, of course, that doesn't explain Ben.
Unless John Malcolm's secret crevices have hidden depths.
Well, I wondered. Ben was always oddly defensive when I had a go.
Well, that's maybe because Ben was oddly sweet.
And certainly too sweet to indulge in anything like blackmail. Mm. Now, I did hear it say that Malcolm's marriage had its difficulties.
Is that a great surprise? I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love for him to be the murderer, but...
So there we were.
Oh, Sergeant! No, I've been up for ages. Jogged a lot. Oh, yeah? Yeah, fine. Of course.
No panic. Nothing special. I always smell like this. I always light candles in the evening. Good evening, Sergeant.
Oh,
do you think so? Now, what can I do? Right.
Helena, hello. Oh, this all looks very nice. Now, look, I need your help. We've run into the sand. Your alibi is watertight. We can't find Parker, man. Dave Wilson could have done it, but there isn't any evidence. And Malcolm, too. So there's nothing in his office or his car. And we're getting lay off it, body language from the chief.
Oh, yeah?
Who, of course, gets on with Malcolm, soaring away at each other like mad. Oh, thanks. But I assure you, wouldn't let that influence his judgment. Well, couldn't, actually. Not with a team of 15 breathing down his neck. So that brings us back to Ben.
And so I agreed that tomorrow evening I would take him to Ben's favourite haunts and introduce him to the boys.
So, tell me. Perfumed candles? Wine? This is how left-wing Labour councillors spend Sunday evenings.
Well, the candles are because I like them. The wine is because it's been a hard week and tomorrow's committee, which won't be much fun under the current circumstances. And the plan is to settle down with a plate of pasta and a video of something with Jack Lemmon, preferably in drag. Or a romantic comedy from my extensive yet select collection. Or the ultimate cheer-up stalwart guys and dolls.
Sounds wonderful. The pasta, too.
So do you...
I Almost wish I didn't have to get back home.
To the non-existent Mrs. Bataloka. Or maybe the current heartthrob.
No, to typing up some notes and ironing some shirts. And an early night. I'll pick you up tomorrow.
Sure.
Oh, Guys and Dolls. Luck be a lady.
Yeah.
Good night.
But clearly not on this occasion.
Good morning, Councillor.
Max Henderson, the 6'6" and drop-dead gorgeous Members Services Officer, from whom I picked up the mail, with whom I discussed filing cabinets and telephones, and to whom tenders for the Meals on Wheels services, one of my responsibilities, were now arriving.
You heard about poor Ben?
Yeah, of course.
Normally we'd ask each other after our weekends. He followed the sport of kings, and although I'm not a gambler, I'd occasionally accept a tip for Newmarket. But today that didn't seem quite right.
Pocket.
Let's make a start. Colleagues. Good morning.
Good morning, Sharon.
As most of you know, there is something tragic to report. On Friday night, our committee clerk, Ben Logan, was battered to death here in the council house. This is being investigated for what it is, a particularly brutal murder. But I know that Ben would want us to complete our work this morning for disadvantaged people of the city who this committee serves and who he was committed to.
Or to whom he was committed?
I know the committee would want me to pass on our condolences to Ben's mother, Vera, and I suggest we stand.
Which we duly did. And then it was back to business, and all generosity was quickly banished from the scene.
Minutes as ever beautifully prepared. Any points of fact?
Hold on.
I can sign as an accurate record. Agreed. Matters arising not raised elsewhere on the agenda.
Yes.
Councillor Malcolm.
I'm sure that all members will be pleased to note that today we are in receipt of tenders for the Meals on Wheels service, Madam Chairman.
Madam Chairman. Really
and
irritating.
And the prospect of this notoriously inefficient service being placed in effective private hands.
This matter is later on the agenda, Councillor.
And there's no reason to suppose our existing service won't win the contract, Chair. Yeah. Unless, that is, the Councillor is privy to secret information.
Good old Lena.
No, and my point is slightly different. It is to hope that in view of the continuing difficulties the Council has with running children's homes, that when, as I have no doubt, a private company is able to provide our old folks with their Meals on Wheels more efficiently at lesser cost...
In your dreams.
I wonder if the ruling group might consider putting its children's homes out to tender. In the hope that someone might be found to run them effectively within budget and for the purpose that they were set up.
Yeah. Chair, on a point of order, what exactly is this matter arising out of?
Well, clearly it arises out of the Tory myth that the best way of caring for the disadvantaged is to find out who can do it cheapest.
As opposed to who can do it worst.
And if that means our children's homes being run as effectively as our new security system in the council, of which both of us have had recent experience...
What's it?
Friday night.
Then it would be putting Herod in charge of the orphanage with a vengeance.
As opposed, that is, to Fagin.
I'm so sorry, what do you mean?
Oh, I'm sure I make myself quite clear.
Well, not to me.
As our children's homes are, of course, most effective in one respect, the encouragement of drugs, vice and crime. But, of course, it may be from her public pronouncements on these matters that Madam Chairman doesn't consider these things of any great concern. Youthful exuberance, sexual experiment, do your own thing. And, of course, there's nobody that's just plain bad. Having, as she does, such considerable personal experience of children and family life.
Move next business, Chair.
Oh, it's that again. Well, I have to tell you, Councillor, that for all his impartiality, which was indeed considerable, when you last made that crack in public, extensively reported in the press, Ben Logan was quite incandescent. He thought it was completely out of order, quite beyond the pale, and it is completely out of order now.
I think, perhaps, we are both speaking inappropriately, Madam Chairman. Under the circumstances of today,
Oh, what an arsehole.
And apparently he's nobbled the chief inspector. The other plods have been told to lay off.
Oh? Where did you get this from?
Oh, from the sergeant. Bataloko, if I've got it right.
He's not the hunk with the curly hair and the naughty grin. He's been sniffing around all morning.
Well, I wouldn't say.
Ah, if I'd known he was Italian, he could dress me up in olive oil with a twist of pepper and hint of garlic any day.
In fact, he's Welsh, if anything, apparently.
Oh, right. Apparently.
Me and my big mouth. And when I did need a bit of verbal dexterity that evening, it deserted me.
So, this is the club you mentioned?
Yes.
You look a bit disappointed.
Well, it's very quiet.
It's Monday.
Maybe it's not what you expect.
Well, maybe. I mean, I didn't think it would be full of
men in drag, no. Now, I'll go and see if the owner's coming.
No, Nate, look. Sonny's
well, smile. Good evening, everybody. Mrs. Logan, I'm so, so sorry about Ben.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Clive. Now, I gather we've the boys in blue among us.
I'm Sergeant Bataloko. Pleased to meet you.
Clive Graham. And if I'm honest, not necessarily that pleased to meet you, Sergeant. But I gather this is all to catch the murderer of a gay man and a friend of mine. So, here I am at your disposal.
Yes, sir.
So, I'd imagine you'd want to know of anything unusual concerning Ben.
Yes, please.
Well, there was one thing that I did remember. Ben was asked after, 2 weeks ago? A middle-aged, sad git.
What did he look like?
What, the git? Well, grey hair, clean-shaven, don't think glasses, rather tight and strained. I put him down as a happy home life, didn't have the nerve.
And wearing?
Slightly formal. Suit, I think. Can't remember if he had an overcoat, presumably. A stripy tie, not very well tied. As I say, tight and uncomfortable.
What did you tell him?
When Ben usually dropped by, but in fact he didn't come back. As it happens, Ben didn't drop by on his usual night, so it slipped my mind. Until...
Yeah, of course. But you've no idea...
No. And to be honest, very glad of it.
Why is that?
Because if I told you who he was, then doubtless next thing you'd be on his doorstep exposing him to his wife and family.
No.
But now, if you'll forgive me, I have a bar to run.
Thank you, that's very helpful.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Phew.
Well,
there's a lead.
If you can find him.
Forgive me. I've remembered something else.
Yes?
His overcoat. In fact, it didn't really fit with the rest of the ensemble. It was a rather elderly long parka. Is that any help?
Well, it's a common form of dress.
But surely it gives you a promising line.
Yes, it does.
So you're going to call Piers?
Yes, Helena, I will. Can I drop you off?
In fact, I thought... I haven't eaten. Might go and grab a Balti.
Well, can I drop you at the restaurant?
Yes, sure. So, any more news on John Malcolm's mysterious alibi?
No. Of course, it might involve something about his private life. And hey, maybe we're being sensitive about it. But I suppose we're not supposed to do that if the man's a wicked Tory.
But he does thank me for my help. And with that, I must be satisfied. And on Tuesday, everything goes belly up at work. The Housing Corporation refuses to fund a scheme for houses for large families, and it's 6 months' hard work down the pan. And on Wednesday, when I get into the council house, there's more bad news.
Helena!
My secretary, who, though frighteningly efficient, was not one for looking on the bright side.
There's trouble.
War hero 80 dead in flat for 3 months. Where were social services?
No.
Excellent.
Vice ring at council home exposed.
Uh-oh.
I hear John Malcolm was on the local news this morning.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay, your calls. I've highlit urgent orange and very urgent blue.
The leader, Evening Mail again. Rosemary, please call her between 10 and 3. That's yesterday.
And between 5 and 8, but only yesterday. And any morning, any time, from 10 till 1:30.
Who is she?
No idea. Sounds posh.
The Post, the Evening Mail again. Mm-hmm. Director's PA, the Director, the Wolverhampton Express and Star, the Sun, the Chief Executive.
And the policeman with the funny name.
Unhighlit.
Said it wasn't urgent.
Coffee. Please. Well, may not be urgent to him. Hi, it's Helena. Do you not have my mobile? Well, that's most considerate. What may I do for you? Well, yes. Yes. Yes.
I need a pen. Yes. Yes. Yes, certainly. I've been playing really hard to get.
Cole Porter.
Unexpected?
Mildly.
I triangulated Guys and Dolls. Some like it hot. Romantic comedy. Do you like oysters?
Yes, but I can never get them open.
That's easy. You just insert this cunning little thingy here, the muscle. Gentle twist and bingo.
Ah.
You just need a little patience, faith, and the right equipment.
How like life?
Do you like Tabasco?
In fact, it was pretty classic bachelor show of seduction stuff. Oysters to start with, something elaborate with veal with a mixed leaf salad and potato dauphinoise, followed by a pudding which consisted largely of alcohol. Which, in my experience, indicates that he won't be that hot on the midweek spag bol, Sunday roast or steak and kidney pie. But then again, I can't open oysters, however cunning the thingamy. And I'm very fond of potato dauphinoise, and by the time we got to the flambé, I was well away. Well, very nice.
Thank you.
And, of course, lovely evening as a whole.
Well, I'm pleased. To me, it's all been something of a relief.
Hmm? Why?
I was worried we'd talk about the murder. Because, strictly speaking, this could be interference with a witness.
I should be so unlucky.
Sorry?
In fact, now he came to mention it, there was something that I wanted to bring up. It was something somebody had said while we were at the club and had popped into my mind, but then popped right on out again.
You know what you should do? Mm. Concentrate on trying to remember it, then immediately think of something else and concentrate on that, and it'll pop right back to you.
So what something else ought I to think about?
It's up to you.
The meal. The gentle twist. The liver crippling drafts of alcohol.
What if you like?
And whether they've succeeded in their dreadful aim.
Well, naturally, there's method in my madness.
Have they?
Well, isn't that for you to say?
Oh, me? Oh, right, yes. Well.
I imagine the bedroom's through here. When we are together. So, have you ever seen a Shakespeare?
One. School outing. Amateur production. Fairies. Fellow with a furry head.
A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Hmm.
So you've never been to Stratford?
No.
I'm going on Saturday. To Hamlet.
That's the chap in black who talks of skulls.
Hmm. And one of the great murder stories of all time. Mm. And half the pithy phrases in the English language. Including there is method in my madness.
Really?
So, do you fancy it?
Oh, well.
Yeah. I meant the play.
Yeah. Mm. Love to.
Michael?
Yeah? What?
I meant the play on Saturday.
Oh.
And so, what with one thing and another, it was not till nearly 12 that I realised that I was now in the calling window of the mysterious Rosemary. Hello? This is Councillor Kerr. I had a message to ring you. Oh, Mrs. Malcolm. Right. What can I do for you? What? You mean this afternoon? She meant this afternoon.
Councillor Kerr.
That's right.
Please do come.
Thank you.
Let me take your coat.
Your husband's out?
Yes, on council business.
Thursday. Environmental services.
Yes, something like that, I'd imagine.
Oh, that's a lovely scarf. Is it Gucci?
Armani.
Tea?
This is, well, a very lovely house.
Well, thank you.
There's gold in them there locks and bolts.
No longer.
Sorry?
My husband sold his company. Now he acts as a consultant.
And you brought this on the proceeds?
Yes, quite properly. But despite being what you might call a good Tory wife, I don't always agree with my husband.
Yes, go on.
Particularly, I feel, his attacks on you.
Oh?
I feel that his remarks about family values and your not having children were very untoward. And as it happens, hypocritical.
Hypocritical? In what way?
Councillor, this is, as you say, a lovely house. It is not a lovely home. In fact, since the children left, it is not a home at all.
So, what?
I felt you were the person.
To do what?
To talk in confidence about this terrible occurrence.
This murder? Yes.
And my husband's alibi.
What did he tell you?
He was at a committee which overran.
Friday evening? Doubt it. What committee?
Urban development?
Renewal. Well, it's in the council diary.
You understand why I didn't want to...
Sure. No. Urban renewal's Wednesday. There's a couple of committees on Friday afternoon, but your husband is on neither of them. So it looks like he was lying. I'm so sorry. Mrs. Markham, can I get you...
You see, I don't think he's a murderer.
But still, you'll have to tell the police.
It's not the first time. Absences with odd excuses. Hmm? Late night returns. With strange scents in the car.
You think he's got a mistress?
Oh, Elsa. Another source of sexual relief.
What, prostitutes?
We've not been man and wife. For 7 years.
But even so, it might be... What's that?
Oh, my God, it's John!
Uh-oh.
Oh, you must... You've got to leave.
Right, is there a back way?
Let me get your...
No, I'll do it. Here, your coat. It's through the kitchen. Can you climb the garden wall?
Need must when the devil drives.
Luckily, I was wearing trousers. Unluckily, they were my jigsaw black cashmeres. Ow. As I affected both to tear them and gash my leg. As well as finding that the bloody woman had given me my coat, but not my precious scarf. Back at the car, the phone was ringing.
Hello? Hello. Look, I'm somewhere I don't want to be. I'm going to start the car. Don't go away. Yes, Michael, I knew that, but this is an emergency. Okay, Sarge, pin him back.
Well, if he was sniffy about me talking on the phone while driving, he was even sniffier about my visit to the Malcolms.
But don't you see? I've got you his false alibi.
He didn't see. We knew his alibi was delicate and might well be something he'd want kept from Rosemary.
Well, yes, I take your point, but don't you think...
I see. You have to go, being very busy and important. You will see me for this Stratford thing on Saturday. Fine, fine. Nina? No, it's not Henry. By the sound of that message, you're well off out of it. I wanted to report on my adventures, but you're out. Hey-ho. One other thing. I'm sorry, Saturday's off. An urgent Jack family thing's come up, which means I'll have to take a rain check. Real bugger. But at least I found a good home for the tickets. My godson's doing Hamlet for GCSE. It's a wonder. I thought the syllabus was all pop lyrics and Frederick Forsyth. Love. Bye. Nina, if you knew, you would forgive me. And next day, hell broke loose.
Ah, Helena, good afternoon.
I know.
The leader wants to see you.
In his office?
No, in yours.
Helena,
Good afternoon. I'm sorry to ambush you like this.
No problem. Did Mary offer you some tea?
She did, but I said no. I don't have long.
Is this about the prostitutes in homes?
No. It is about councillors in homes. The homes of their political opponents.
I'm sorry?
Councillor Malcolm has complained most bitterly to the chief executive. Apparently, you secretly visited his wife, which he discovered subsequently.
My Armani scarf.
Beg pardon?
Well, I can understand he was annoyed, but I can't see why this is an official matter.
Oh, his approach was not official, any more than this is. But unfortunately, matters escalated between Councillor Malcolm and his wife around issues provoked by your visit, and she walked out.
What? Permanently? Like, left him?
So you can understand his, well, concern.
Well, sure. But on his own head...
Helena, I want this dreadful murder put behind us.
Look, you're not the only one to think I acted out of turn.
Oh, Helena, it's not me.
I know. And I can't promise that I won't act out of turn again. But I will remember what you said.
I will see you at F and GP.
Of course.
Where I fear we may have to confront the issue of your prostitutes.
Well, they're not exactly mine. Yes, Mary?
Rosemary.
Surprise, surprise. Sure, put her through. Good morning, Mrs. Malcolm. Rosemary. I gather... Yes? What now?
You're limping.
Yes, my dramatic exit from your garden.
I'm sorry, this is not the most salubrious.
But you have to get back to your sister's and you have your shopping.
Yes. He saw your scarf.
Yes, I worked that out. As it happens, did you think to bring...
No, I didn't. Silly of me.
Doesn't matter.
Helena, you know, I'm not quite sure I believe you.
No, but I keep saying to myself they're only clothes. So did you tell him about your suspicions?
Well, I said enough, but I'm not sure how much he was taking in.
But did he admit it or deny it?
Well, as I say, the conversation was hardly a free and frank exchange of information.
So not enough to prove...
Even if I was prepared to tell the police, which of course I'm not.
What do you mean?
He wants to meet me. Just to talk things through, on neutral ground.
Sounds sensible.
We've settled on his golf club, Sunday afternoon, for tea.
When you said...
Which means, of course, that the house will definitely be empty.
Mrs. Malcolm, please don't say you are suggesting...
Helena, we both have needs. I need to know the secrets of my husband's life. You need to know if he is implicated in the murder of your friend.
So, two birds with one stone.
That is my train.
I'll need to think about it.
Take the keys, at least, so if you do decide...
Rosemary, I'm really not quite sure...
That one's the Yale for the front door, and that's the mortise. The alarm is actually behind the hat stand, where your coat...
Alarm?
Yes, it's a press-button system. The code is 2106, our wedding anniversary. You do know how to work...
Yes, of course, I'll write it down.
I've got it here, and that's his study. He keeps it locked to stop the cleaners tidying it.
Got all this worked out.
Helena, I'm asking you to gain a legal entry to my husband's house to try and find out whether he is an adulterer or a murderer. I don't do this lightly.
No, of course not.
I've written my sister's number on the piece of paper. Please tell me what you decide to do.
Of course.
And Helena...
Yes?
Thank you.
Madam, how like you this play?
The lady does protest too much, methinks.
Oh, but she'll keep her word.
This is the big scene.
This
I'd work that
is
out.
One Lucianus, nephew to the king.
It's got everybody in it.
You are as good as a chorus, my lord.
Begin, murderer. Pox, leave thy damnable faces and begin. Come, the croaking raven doth bellow for revenge.
Thoughts black, hands apt, drugs fit, and time agreeing. Confederate season, else no creature seeing. Thou mixture rank of midnight weeds collected, with Hecate's ban thrice blasted, thrice infected, thy natural magic and dire property on wholesome life usurp immediately. poisons him in the garden for his estate. His name's Gonzago. The story is extant and writ in choice Italian. You shall see anon how the murderer gets the love of Gonzago's wife.
The king rises!
What, frantic with false fire?
How fares, my lord?
Give her the plague.
Give me some light! Away!
So what do you think of that?
So how's Operation Parkman?
Well, we haven't found him.
Can this be the gleaming new computerized police service?
No. It's a dreary old understaffed and underfunded public institution trying to do its best on limited resources.
Tell me about it. So Parkman is still your prime suspect?
Well, until we find out your secret part.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you're still interfering with a material witness?
Not in the A435, I'm not.
It's no fun with you. So come on, what do you think?
Of what?
The play.
I enjoyed it.
I sense an unstated but.
No, not a but. I was a bit surprised, that's all.
Go on.
Well, Hamlet's supposed to be about a man who doesn't act, right? Whose inertia is his tragic flaw.
Well, oversimplified, no doubt, but yes.
Well, it just struck me, in what you helpfully explained to be the play scene, that the opposite is true.
Go on.
Well, he sets up the plot to expose the king, and then he blows it by interrupting. If he'd kept patient and just sat innocently with his head in Ophelia's lap, then the friend,
Horatio?
Would have certainly spotted whether the king was guilty. You can always tell.
What, by his shaking hands or beady sweat appearing on the brow?
Well, sometimes, but more likely, actually, the opposite. In my experience, you spot that someone's rattled when they freeze. So if I was friend Horatio, I'd watch to see what the king did as his usual compulsive thing. We all have something. And then notice when he stops. Because when we're accused of something that we're guilty of, we're hyper-conscious of how we look to other people.
Oh, right.
So, if I was to ask you if there's anything you've done connected with this inquiry I should know about, I would expect and hope you'd carry on twisting your left earring like before.
Twist, twist.
Well, good. Right then, here we are. Who's that, for heaven's sake?
Who's that, for heaven's sake, was Nina. She was sitting on my step. She was clearly pissed, and I'd guess a bit miserable. But by the time we got out of the car, this had given way to something rather more aggressive.
Hello?
Oh, Helena, you're back! But who's this? Nina, this is Michael Battaloco.
How do you do?
Oh. Is he a relative? No, he's a policeman. No, I'm confused. Is it usual in your family to attend a family occasion accompanied by a personal detective?
We haven't been at a family occasion.
Oh?
We've been at Stratford watching Hamlet.
Hamlet? You've been at Stratford watching Hamlet?
Nina.
With what in mind? Professional research?
No, I'm off duty.
So this is the little godson, is it? Hey, sonny, how's revision going for the old GCSEs?
Look, I think maybe...
And here I am with my life in pieces due entirely to the criminal activities of the whole of the male sex without exception. And you have been in Hamlet watching Stratford with this male fist of the ruling order, Michael Pettigini.
Oh, come on, Nina.
It was a lovely evening.
What?
I'm going, Helena. You should take her in. I'll call tomorrow.
What?
It was good to meet you, Nina.
Hey, Michael, what did you mean, my secret part?
Beg pardon?
Helena, this is a public street.
In the car you said, till I find out your secret part.
Yes.
I trust not in moving traffic.
What did you mean?
Well, it's from the play. Rosen thing and Gildon's what's it. Living in the secret parts of fortune. Literally, I'd guess that it describes their social status at court, but I'd think there's a double meaning. Wouldn't you? Good night.
Well, I'll be darned.
Helena, I'm freezing. Let's go in.
I thought the best strategy was to change the subject. So I told Nina about the idea of searching Malcolm's house.
You're crazy!
I thought I might ask her to look out for me.
Crazy and stupid.
So that was that.
Hey, where'd you keep the whiskey?
And much quicker than I wanted it. It was the following afternoon.
Gordon.
Excuse me, can I help you?
A challenge posing as a courtesy.
No, thank you. It's all...
I'm from Neighbourhood Watch. May I ask who you are?
I'm from the estate agent. I'm checking on a couple of dimensions. These are Mrs. Markham's keys.
Which estate agent?
Thank God I'm on planning.
Brodie, Beadleston and Rosenthal. I'll mention you on the description. An active watch is a selling point.
Oh, so are they selling?
I'm sorry, I've only got 30 seconds to turn the alarm off. Thanks for your concern.
The alarm is next to the coat stand with my scarf. With superhuman will, I leave it. The first stop is Malcolm's study, to which I admit myself with a thoughtfully provided key.
One can see why he wants to keep this to himself.
The desk drawers are just full of stationery. Nothing immediately suspicious in the sort of pile of council bumf that's sitting on my desk, mocking September's resolution on the preservation of the rainforest. But then I try the filing cabinet. Top drawer locked, next down, less so. Again, pretty predictable. Files from his various committees, ward meetings, election campaigns. But naturally, as my luck was involved, no bank statements, nothing on his financial or personal affairs. Until, between the files, I noticed there's something at the bottom of the drawer. I take out enough of the files to get at what turns out to be a fat manila envelope. I open it and see enough of it to know exactly what it is.
Excuse me? Who are you?
I might ask the same.
I'm Mr. Malcolm's cleaner.
I'm his secretary. Oh.
That's your phone.
Where?
I think it's in your bag.
Always at the bottom of the bag. Hello? Yes, Councillor. Yes. I had no problem with the alarm. Yes. The manila envelope is here. In fact, you'd put it under leisure services. I'll be back with you in 20 minutes, if not even less.
And, of course, I have to take the bloody envelope.
I'll be on my way, then.
Afternoon.
Thanking my usually quiescent lucky star for making me leave my mobile phone on.
Vera, I'm sorry. It's a complicated story. I was pretending... You're way ahead of me. I'm driving home, passing the cricket ground in as we speak. Please don't tell me not to use a mobile phone while driving along a public highway, particularly after dark. So what do you want?
What she wanted really was a chat. For the last 3 days she'd been round at Ben's house, sorting out his papers, dealing with outstanding mail. I asked her if she was alone and wanted company, but she said that she'd arranged a night out with the girls, glad rags and all, to cheer her up. And then the door rang, and she said she had to go. That must be her friends. And it wasn't until I switched off the phone that I realised two things. One was that she'd sounded surprised, as if the friends or friend was earlier than expected. And second, that I knew who the man in the long parka was.
Vera? Helena again. Are you going to pick up? I think I've worked something out. It's to do with Ben and you and someone else. Call me as soon as you get this message. Oh, and I hope the glad rags knock 'em dead.
And somehow it's the thought that that's not actually the best way of putting it under Vera's circumstances that convinces me that I must go round. But I'm a good 15 minutes from Vera's. I've just seen I have nil petrol, so I ring Batileko.
The person you are calling has not answered. Please try again.
And my battery's running down. As I turn into the garage, I call Steelhouse Lane. No, I do not want to speak to Inspector Pierce.
That's 3865. Do you take the point?
Not today. Do you have a phone?
And thank God for womanly forgiveness, I get Nina. And despite the roadworks that sprout up through central Birmingham like ivy every Sunday, I'm there in 11 minutes flat. Nina, what's happened? You look like you've seen...
The door was open.
What?
I think he tried to slam it shut behind, but it caught on the chain.
He?
The person who killed Vera.
Nina.
I've called the police.
Where is she?
I'm not sure you want... Her skirt's pulled up and her knickers down. The downstairs loop.
And this time, it wasn't just two constables. It was the works.
Right, Councillor.
So do you know what happened?
I'm sorry, but it is usual on these occasions for us to ask the questions.
Inspector, Vera was my friend. I want you to tell me how you think she died, or else I'm saying nothing.
She was stabbed.
And raped?
It seems not, from preliminary inspection. So it probably would have been quite quick.
That's what Sergeant Bataloka said about her son.
Well, yes, I'm afraid it is what people say. But in this case, true. There's a V-shaped space between the ribs underneath the breastbone, and with a sharpish knife going upwards to the heart. So it was relatively neat. I'm sorry, can I...
No, it's all right. I hardly ever cry. I'm better now.
You're sure I can't get you something?
I'm absolutely sure.
You said you had some information.
Well, it's more a theory.
Oh.
You know that Sergeant Badaloko interviewed the man who runs a club that Ben frequented, and that he reported seeing Parker Man, someone who sounded like the man in the long parka, in the club, described as wearing a stripy tie, not well tied and looking tight and strained.
Oh, yes, naturally the sergeant reported on this interview.
Vera was separated from her husband. He was in the army, not too nice to Ben and very mean. The way she put it was, he hadn't bought a shirt for 20 years.
You're going to have to give me just a little more.
Tie, stripy, regimental.
Well?
Tie tight. The fact that almost any man is heavier than he was 20 years ago, the tie looked loose because his collar was too tight. The Parker Man is Harry Logan. Okay, now dismiss it as the ravings of a loony lefty feminist hysteric and we can get on.
Now, as it happens, Councillor, I think that makes considerable sense. Although naturally not conclusive. And I will set certain things in train at once. And then I'll want to know why you were there.
So let's run through it. Parker Man is Harry Logan.
Yes.
He's Ben's father and Vera's ex-husband, and he has reason to resent them both.
Yes.
By profession, he kills people.
Yes.
And he was at the council house when Ben was murdered, and he could have been at Vera's.
Yes.
More to the point, our favoured suspect couldn't, as he is at the golf club surrounded by obsequious waiters serving fish paste sandwiches and seed cake.
Yes.
So it's all clear and clean and sorted.
Yes.
So why don't we think that?
I don't know.
Just because we're horrible and prejudiced and loony?
Probably.
However... There is something, something definite. Not a clue, not something that the cops can measure or check out, but something we know just ain't right about it. What?
It's the knickers, isn't it? Okay, he's violent. Okay, it's a crude attempt to make it look like something else, but do you leave your wife to be found by strangers with her skirt up and her knickers round her knees? That doesn't help. It doesn't remove the fish paste sandwich problem.
Okay. How do we prove we're wrong?
We repeat this conversation.
No, no. On Tuesday, there's a council meeting.
Don't I know it?
And in order to avoid discussing dustbins and repairs, our side has put up a motion concerned with Section 28, the government's intention to repeal.
Yeah, I thought I might speak.
So what's the big idea?
I was so angry with you over Stratford, I decided that if I couldn't see it, then I'd read the book. How does it go? The play's the thing by which I'll catch the conscience of the king.
The problem with Tuesdays
is that they're the other side of Monday, which is usually a nightmare day, but which, on this occasion, is enlivened by a visit from the drop-dead gorgeous Max.
Councillor.
Max, what can I do you for?
Between ourselves.
Of course. My lips are sealed. Mm.
The council's got the lowest tender for the Meals on Wheels.
Bingo! Should you be telling me?
I gather you've had another pretty rough weekend.
Oh, that's true.
And, I thought some good news would be welcome.
And yours? Did the GGs come up trumps at Doncaster?
Yes. No, I mean, a bit busy. Anyway, I thought you'd like to know.
Yes, thanks.
And then I got my messages.
There's two from Rosemary.
Yes, that's her sister's number. I'll call later.
And a television company writing for permission to film in children's homes. Letter CC Councillor John Malcolm.
So, a moving affirmation of the power of dedicated carers to redress the wounds of childhoods marred by disadvantage and abuse?
Sure. And the prostitutes, of course.
I see. And has the, as it were, been linked?
What, from your right eye fancy man? No, sorry. Not so far.
Well, in fact, of course, his day was just as crammed as mine. As I discovered, when having left another coded message on Mrs. Malcolm's sister's answer phone, there was a ring at my front door.
Hey, look at you.
I'm completely knackered.
Bring me come.
What's your story?
Well, you'll be pleased to hear it includes confirming Malcolm's alibi, and thus much talk with golf club waiters about sandwich fillings, types of tea and sorts of cake. Or is that a drink?
Please help yourself. I was settling down with a rather classy puis-fouissé and news night.
Oh, please, no Paxman.
Is the other one?
Even so.
So, have you found him?
Harry Logan? Do I look like a man who's just arrested a prime suspect?
No. You know, it struck me that of course he's done commando training, so he would be used to living rough.
Yeah. You know, we'd actually worked that one out.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry.
Do you want another?
Please.
I assume from this that you aren't planning driving.
No, I'm taking you for granted.
Well, you took the words.
You know, Pierce was impressed by you. The collar size.
I'm glad to be of use.
You were.
Because I may have something else for you.
Go on.
I seized the time.
There's something else I have to tell you.
Oh?
So I told him all about me searching Malcolm's house.
You did what?
Which I didn't think would go down well.
You broke into his house?
And didn't.
Helena!
But don't you see? Gay porn. It puts him in a whole new light.
As it will on you when the cleaner tells him and I have to pull you in for trespass.
I thought of that.
God, go on.
I took the envelope. Well, I had to. But it means that he'll know what I'd found.
Well, great. That makes it burglary.
But don't you...
Oh, Helena, you don't give up, do you?
No, I don't.
And of course that's what I find attractive. But the real world, it isn't Malcolm. He has an alibi. Even if he didn't, under Pace, any evidence you've gained by theft mightn't be admissible. And under present, with our thing, your meddling in this case makes it very difficult for me.
Meddling?
Yes, meddling.
And what the hell is Pace?
Police and Criminal Evidence Act.
And do you yet know Malcolm's alibi for Ben?
No, I do not.
Despite the fact that you wouldn't even have to tell me what it was.
Oh, Helena, for Christ's sakes, leave it out.
Leave it out?
How can I say this? You're not finding evidence. You're destroying it. You're trampling all over it, so it's useless. I'm not a politician, you're not a policeman.
Or
woman, person. But whatever, please, why not let us do our job and you get on with yours?
Well, I suppose my meddling being quite so hard for you with this our thing, you'd better go.
No, not better. Quite unnecessary. But if you insist, as Hamlet says, I won't stand upon the order of my going, but I'll go.
Macbeth.
Huh? Ah. GCSE set text. What a wonder is a human memory. Good night.
As are the powers of recuperation of the human spirit.
Good morning, Councillor.
Luckily.
Good morning, Dave. How's things?
Ah, not too bad.
Are you following the closure of the Penny Hazard cash machine?
Ah, but I missed last evening's thrilling episode.
I'm planning to catch up over lunch on the repeat.
You got it, Councillor.
Then it will not be I who spoils it for you.
Helena.
Nina.
Have you decided?
Well, I had, but as much as I loved and trusted Dave, I didn't want to talk about it in the gatehouse, and so took Nina to my room.
So remind me, I look out for tics and small compulsive acts and note their sudden absence.
Well, so I'm told, but in fact...
No buts about it, not least as I'm so looking forward to your speech.
Nina, I don't think this is such a good idea.
Why ever not?
Which I could have answered, had not Mary then appeared on my office threshold and insisted that although the council meeting started in 12 minutes, if I didn't sign these letters, make these calls and come to a definite conclusion about the residents' workers' Christmas party, now she was going to run off with a circus, to which Nina responded that she wouldn't have to go that far to find one, turned and left in what I feared was dudgeon. Yes, Mary?
You haven't got time for this, but it's your persistent caller.
You're right, but put her through. Hello, Rosemary. Now, look, I've hardly any time at all. Yes, I did. In a filing cabinet. Nothing that incriminating, but I guess upsetting. It was a pile of porn. Rosemary? Mrs. Malcolm? Well, as I said, upsetting, but I have to say, in my experience... Well, I'm sorry to be the bearer of obviously shocking tidings, but I really, really have to go. I'll call you later, Rosemary. Now, that is odd.
Yes, Councillor.
Mary, how would you react if you found your husband kept a pile of porn hidden somewhere in a drawer?
Well, I'd not be pleased.
But would you be horrified? Would you feel that it demonstrated your whole married life had been a lie?
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Because... To be honest, in my experience, most blokes...
But I suppose, I mean, it would depend what sort of porn.
Exactly. Thanks. And yes, I'm signing them all now. But I didn't say what sort of porn it was. Did I, Mrs. Malcolm?
All persons here present be upstanding for the worship of the Lord Mayor.
My first duty is a pleasant one.
Helena, your important call's all done?
Yes, thank you.
Good. And look, there's Malcolm, filling with his glasses. So why is this of any interest to me? Because I'm going to go for it.
My second duty...
Lord Mayor, is the chairman... Oh, I am so sorry, the chairperson... Cognizant of the fact that the majority of citizens do not want itinerants camped outside their homes, and that this view is particularly strongly held in my own ward.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Could the Chair of Housing give us current figures for rent arrears across the city?
Well, there he is.
No, Lord Mayor, I cannot spirit figures out of thin air. Why not? Councillor Malcolm, give a notice or even written...
Resign!
Lord Mayor!
Can't hear.
Lord Mayor, this motion and this debate are all about tolerance and the acceptance of diversity.
Are you going to try and get in soon? Aware, not for a bit. Like I want the temperature to rise. Well, let's hope Malcolm sticks it out.
Section 28 was added hurriedly to another bill in a spirit of moral panic without adequate consideration. There have been no prosecutions under it, but its consequences have been great, particularly in respect of homophobic bullying in schools.
At least we will pay attention not to rhetoric, but to what this section actually says. It does not, of course, say anything to justify bullying, about which I am as horrified as Councillor Marking, nor to prevent teachers dealing with it. All it does is to stop the spending of public money on promoting one sex. Style of life as typical or normal or everyday when it is obviously not.
Right, off you go.
Lord Mayor, my colleagues have dealt with the inadequacies of the drafting of this clause and the blatant and disgraceful prejudices on which it is based. Many people have spoken about the homophobic bullying.
The myth of homophobic bullying.
But I want to talk about something else. Hypocrisy. Not in theory, but in practice.
Not somewhere else, but here. I think we will all recognize these people. Those who talk about the rule of law but defy it in their own behavior. Those who criticize social security fraud but condone tax evasion. Those who claim to act for the council taxpayer but abuse their party legislation to get their sticky fingers in the public till. Those who condemn prostitution but exploit the services of prostitutes. Those who condemn in public what they practice in private. Some of them in the party opposite.
Councillor Hood, sit down. Councillor Kerr, please conclude.
Well, as Gertrude nearly says in Hamlet, the opposition doth protest too much, methinks. I rest my case, Lord Mayor.
He did it. He fiddled with his glasses and then he stopped.
When?
Well, actually, just before the line about practising in private. Mm. He obviously saw where you were heading.
I'm not convinced there's a matter of order involved with this debate, except for the order of members.
But this is outrageous.
No, Councillor Hurt, I've called on someone else. Councillor Malcolm.
Wow.
Well, in fact, I'm not speaking in opposition to this motion. I have always voted with my party for the 15 years that I've served on the council. But not, I'm afraid, this afternoon. Lord Mayor, members will know that I, and as it happens, Councillor Kerr, were present and thus quite properly suspected of involvement in the recent tragic death of a council employee. Like Councillor Kerr, I've been able to satisfy the police of my alibi, which neither I nor they have revealed publicly. However, it doesn't take an international codebreaker to work out from what she said that Councillor Kerr is aware of it. Now, I believe in privacy. I'm not happy, but I think I have no choice but to make this statement. Lord Mayor, despite a hitherto happy marriage lasting over 20 years, I have lived a double life. I have always been aware of homosexual leanings and from time to time have indulged them. At the time, when Ben Logan was being brutally murdered, I was with a young man. This man has been interviewed by the police and has satisfied them of the truth of what I've told them. Well, there it is, Lord Mayor. All I have to add is this. If Councillor Kerr calls for my resignation on the grounds of the unsuitability of a bisexual man being a councillor, then I will resign immediately. Thank you.
That's brilliant. The bastards! Who's the other one? Michael Bastard Bataloko.
Thank you, Councillor. Now, we've come to the end of the time designated for debate on this motion. I call on Councillor Marking to reply.
I did try to call. Your secretary said you were in the council and she couldn't get you out.
Listening to John Malcolm broadcast his secret alibi via the City Council to the world.
Which I found out about this morning, as instructed by one councillor, Ms. Kerr.
But I told you, he absolutely did the thing you said he would. Nina was watching like a hawk.
Well, nothing's foolproof, Helena.
I don't believe it.
Sorry.
So is there anything else?
Well, Helena, this has to be a secret, otherwise...
You'll be cashiered, I know.
He had a short affair with Ben.
Who, John Malcolm?
Yes.
Well, that would explain Ben's curious defensiveness.
And he told Pierce he was fond of him and wouldn't harm him.
No, of course. But he's not with Ben that evening.
No, he's with a rent boy in his car, who was reasonably bright and could confirm the time. In fact, to the minute, Malcolm had your blessed archers playing on the radio.
Where's your watch?
Oh, must have left it in the shower. Well, that's good news for us.
How so?
It's a well-known sign of coupledom, looking at each other's watches for the time.
Or in this case, at each other's naked wrists.
That is, of course, if we're still...
A thing, yes, of course we are. But I must get back.
Helena, I have to say...
Looking at hands, looking at naked wrists.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes. Now, you're not going to tell me who the rent boy was.
I can't.
Nor, although it's a good bet, if he's in care.
Right.
Although, in fact, as you've not arrested Malcolm, he would have to be 18.
Well, just.
And so...
Of course he's not still in care.
Just 18, not still in care.
Oh, no. Now, Helena.
You can blame it on my wicked women's wiles.
Helena!
You want this now?
That's right.
You know, there's well over 2,000 children and young people on the past and present register.
I do, but then you're going to list them all by date of birth.
What for?
So that I can find out how many are males within 2 months of their 18th birthday. Of which there were precisely three. One of which was studying at the University of Sheffield. Great. Another turned out, sadly, to be doing 18 months for burglary. Hi, this is Councillor Kerr here, Francis. I'm inquiring about somebody in aftercare. The third was called Gary Stevenson and had three convictions for soliciting and was, as I discovered shortly afterwards, actively courting number four. Is £30 enough?
Okay, but I told the police.
I know, and I don't want to go through it all again. I just want to know two things.
Well, it's your money.
Okay. Remind me of the time.
It was 7 o'clock. He picked me up and he dropped me off about 15 minutes past.
And you knew that how?
Well, his car clock, innit?
Maybe he mentioned it as well.
No. Except...
Except?
He said about the thing was on the radio. Some kind of soapy thing about some guys on trial for something. How he never missed it, even if, like, he was doing something else. Which at that moment, actually...
Well, yes. The programme is the Archers.
Oh. The kind of... On a farm.
Well, yes, originally. But now I have to tell you all human life is there.
So...
In fact, did you say... Some guys on trial...
Yeah. I remember thinking, isn't it odd? I never heard it. But you still get caught up, innit? Thinking, wonder if they get done or gets off.
But of course they did get done.
Did they?
Yes, yes, they did. You didn't hear the verdict?
No, like they didn't get that far. Like the jury were just coming back in when they cut it off. Like, innit, like they do, to make you switch on the next day.
Yes, yes, of course that's what they do.
That's it?
Almost. Just one more question, Gary. How did he get to see your hands? And the answer was that Malcolm had asked the boy to show his hands, like a school inspection, to see that they were clean. But really, obviously, to check that he didn't have a watch. So he'd be assured that when he drew the boy's attention to the time, then he'd believe him. Backed up by playing a recording of the thrillingly suspenseful episode of a certain serial he'd taped the day before. And so now I'd got the means. All that was missing was the end. And the only place to find the end was Ben's. I was supposed to sort his socks, but I made straight for the little room in which Ben kept his papers. Right then. Well, obviously Vera tidied this all up. Except, that is, for one piece of paper in Ben's careful handwriting, which appeared to be the first draft of a letter. But before I could work out what, why, and to whom, I heard a sound.
Hello? Is anybody there? Thank goodness.
And so, trying not to hurry, I went and opened the front door.
Ah! It's you.
Yes, Helena. No, I don't think so.
No, look.
You've got it, haven't you?
I don't know what...
Oh, come on, Helena. When you didn't come back, I followed you. You've been checking out my alibi.
Yes, and you can imagine how annoyed I was.
What, that it stood up? Oh, come on. You see, the problem is, even if you didn't get the time trick... I can't risk it.
Well, I got the time trick.
Particularly in view of your little hidden accusation in your speech.
What? You mean condemning in public what you practiced?
Well, no, obviously not. The earlier thing?
What? Tax evasion?
No.
Well, then it must be abusing legislation to get sticky fingers in the public too.
Of course.
So it wasn't sex at all?
Of course not.
It was how you sold a bankrupt firm for enough to buy your house and finance a comfortable retirement.
Focus on who I sold it to.
To whom you sold it? You sold your firm to Blanket Security in exchange for ensuring that they'd get the council contract?
Yes.
But how? The tender system's watertight. It's all done to the strictest rules by Max.
Yep. Poor old Max. Reliable and incorruptible, except that everybody's got a weakness. And with Max...
It is the turf.
Quite considerable debts.
You bastard! Max!
And all would have been well had not the bright Ben Logan gone through exactly the same mental process that you've gone through, with less help, I have to say, but with, I fear...
Oh, no!
Yes, the same result.
It was a tire iron. I didn't see it till it crashed into my jaw. And it wasn't quite so much the pain. It's true, at first you hardly feel it. But the fact that my mouth and nose were suddenly so full of blood I couldn't breathe. But the really odd thing was that as the world went upside down and I crashed backwards to the wall and then the floor, I had two thoughts. One was, how was Vera murdered? And the other was, who was the sound?
No, don't, Max.
What?
Oh!
It was Parker Man.
I think she's coming round.
Oh, Helena. You're in hospital. You've hurt your jaw.
She'll work it out. What's she saying?
Water.
Beg pardon?
And a mirror?
No, not yet.
Which, when I saw my face the next day, I realised had been good advice. By this time, I had seen the doctor and worked out that if I used my tongue and didn't try to use my lips, I could be understood. And when Bataloko visited again, after requesting gentle kissing, careful hugging, and another gentle kiss, I told him, in the traditional manner, that there were one or two things I still didn't understand.
Okay. Well, the tender trick was rather elegant. Blanket Security prepared 5 tenders in 1 envelope, and when Henderson and his colleagues opened them, he made sure that Blanket Security was last, so that he could take the nearest tender from the envelope and junk the rest.
And Ben realised...
He made the link. When Blanket Security bought out Malcolm's bankrupt firm.
And the actual murder?
Well, having bought himself that half an hour, he broke in through the window in the blind spot... Killed Ben, went out, took off his overalls and dumped them in a plastic bag in the boot of a waiting car.
But you searched his car.
I didn't say his car.
There's another waiting car. Please tell me not Max Henderson's.
Nope. Rosemary's.
Rosemary?
Afraid so.
Slowly but surely, things were beginning to dawn.
The Vera murder.
Everybody knew Malcolm at the golf club. Nobody knew her. And none of us, fools that we were, thought of talking to her sister.
So she sits there innocently mediating over fish paste sandwiches.
Cucumber with assorted fancies, but you get the picture.
While Vera hears a woman's voice outside her front door and lets in Rosemary.
And really probably felt very little pain.
Fish-shaped face.
Having heard that you were sleuthing and already tried to drive you into the cul-de-sac of Malcolm's sexuality...
The scarf, the pawn.
Exactly.
Loyalty, the Tory's secret weapon.
And then finally... But he can tell you all about his role in this himself.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
He'd been waiting in the corridor. He was in a blazer, not a parka. But his shirt was still too tight.
You see, I knew I'd mucked it up with Vera. And with Ben... But now I was back on Civvy Street and I had time to think. It was time to make amends. I mean, there's nobody so bad that they can't change and make amends now, is there? So I'd been hanging around, trying to work out how and when and where it would be best to say hello. And then, on that night at the council house, I saw something through the window. found the broken one next door and climbed right in. And of course, when I saw that he'd been murdered, well, I'd be the prime suspect.
So you went underground?
Yeah. Yeah, outside for a bit. But when I worked out they weren't watching Ben's flat anymore, I broke in there.
I'm very glad you did.
And so am I.
Which is where I found the letter. Well, a kind of a rough draft of a letter that he'd written Malcolm.
Yes, I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Yes, which convinced him Vera must have known. Which, in fact, she didn't. She just stamped the envelope and popped it in the post.
So her murder was unnecessary?
Yes. And not the only one.
How so?
The letter said Ben wasn't going to grass on Malcolm after all. He hated that he'd... When you say one thing and do another...
Hypocrisy. Yes, right.
But he'd thought about it. He liked Malcolm, knew what going bankrupt would have meant. And when you come down to it, what's the difference between one security contractor and another?
So Malcolm utterly misread him.
Malcolm misread everybody.
Just like me.
Oh, come on, Helena.
Oh, yes, sure. I was right about the man, but I was wrong about the motive. And I'd never have believed the truth of poor Max Henderson. Mrs. Malcolm completely led me up the garden path. And yes, Harry, of course there's nobody so bad that they can't change and make amends.
Yeah, I knew you'd think that.
Well, it's what I thought I did think. But it's still nice when it turns out to be true.
And we chatted on a little while, and Harry rose and shook my hand, and turned and stiffly marched away. And it struck me that his was the real tragedy. To resolve to make your peace with people you've mistreated, and then to find you've let it all too late.
Now, do you feel up to checking out the menu?
Menu? You mean what flavour Complan?
On the day of your release. Mm. It's quite carefully thought out. But, of course, it's subject to amendment.
Mm.
First, an onion soup. Homemade, of course.
Mm.
Then shepherd's pie and strawberry mousse for pudding.
Sloppy.
Exactly. Sloppy family food.
Mm. Oh.
But, if you'll permit me one indulgence, washed down with champagne.
Mm.
So, shall we sample the vintage I'm proposing now?
So yet another terrible misjudgment. How could anyone this perfect not be house-trained? But as I sucked the blissful bubbly through a straw, I realised my worst misjudgment was of me. I turn out to be a lucky woman after all.
The Secret Parts, dramatised by David Edgar, the novel by Eve Brooke, starred Celia Imrie as Councillor Helena Kerr. Sergeant Michael Bataloco was Nathaniel Parker, Nina was Frances Barber, John Malcolm, Nicholas Woodson, and Rosemary Malcolm, Victoria Wicks. Inspector Pierce was John Rowe, Dave Kim Wall, Vera Jilly Mears, Max Henderson, Roger Walker, Mary Beverly Hills, Stringer Regenda Carey, and Jinder Nitin Ganatra. The director was John Kilpanting.